taxi. She fumbled for something to say, for some words of wisdom or kindness. But all that came out was, "Welcome home, Ree." Kara placed a hand on her shoulder and squeezed. Ree didn't look up, but she placed her own hand on top of Kara's. Her other hand remained in a tight fist in her lap. A sliver of an organic memory moved through her like a pulse. It contained no specific memories, just a feeling. Electric and overpowering. It was something she couldn't quite name. Something between love and knowing. How sensitive Ree had been. How sensitive she still was. It was anger that had built inside of her brick by brick. Brick by brick, Kara would learn her sister. She wasn't afraid of anger. Kara kneeled and placed a hand gently beneath her younger sister's chin, so that Ree was forced to raise her eyes.
"They were so kind."
Ree opened her palm to show an onyx ring with an ornate crest. Dalin's ring.
"They let me keep this. As a memento."
Her body heaved with breath. Kara found that familiar, too. Ree was trying not to cry.
"They're a kind people," Kara said.
And Dalin was kind. He'd saved her life the eve of her coronation. He had saved the lives of everyone who was connected to the Overrider. Kara reached out, running her hand through her sister's black hair. It was straight and thick, and Kara's fingers moved through it easily. At Kara's touch, something in Ree broke. Her body began to shake with sobs.
"I've made so many mistakes."
Her little sister looked up at Kara finally, tears streaking down the curves of her face.
"Everything terrible that happened, it was my fault."
"That's not true," Kara said. How was it possible for Ree to feel like a sister and like a stranger all at once?
"How would you know? You weren't here. You haven't been here."
Ree trailed off. It stung, even if Ree hadn't intended it. And in that silence, Kara leaned forward and took Ree in her arms and squeezed her close.
"I'm sorry,"
Kara whispered. Finally, Ree softened, letting her head drape over Kara's shoulder. Kara felt Ree begin to shake as she cried. Kara absorbed it all, held her tighter. She tried to take Ree's pain as her own. She tried to carry it. She had wanted to run away from this once, to disappear. But this was where she was needed, and this was what she needed as well.
"We're together now," Kara said softly.
The real work had yet to be done. The real people who needed saving were not two princesses, but the people below, and throughout the galaxy, too. The Ta'an dynasty had always ruled under the notion that they were guiding stars for the rest of the world to follow. But things were going to have to change, just as Kara had had to transform into Jocelyn in order to become herself. In order to come home. Slowly Ree quieted, and as she did, the noise of the crowd reached them from below. This time, the sound was joyful, not angry. The assembled people were shouting, calling their names. "Rhiannon! Jocelyn! Long live the Ta'an dynasty!"
"I wish they could hear this,"
Ree pulled away. She swiped her face with her arm before gesturing to the open window.
"Our parents, I mean. The Emperor would be proud."
A wind stirred the curtains and carried in the sound of exulting, clamoring voices. There was a low hum, a slow rhythm to the pain in Kara's head. But it was her lot, and worth the price to be here with the family. The sun would be setting soon, and the coronation would take place in its golden light.
"What are we going to do?"
Kara, no, Jocelyn now, glanced up at the setting sun, thinking of everything their parents had stood for, and of the choices the Emperor had had to make. He'd signed an executive order that was invasive, that violated the privacy of everyone within his reach. But he'd done it as an act of mercy and a way to encourage goodwill. But could peaceful ends truly justify violent means? And could she tell Rhiannon what she'd discovered of their father's rule, when it was clear how much she'd idolized him? It was the first decision she would make as Empress. Jocelyn turned back to Rhi. In her sister's eyes, she saw both a vulnerability and a fierceness. And she thought again of guiding stars, burning bright, hot, alone. Jocelyn had never felt more scared than she did now, but never more complete either. "We're going to give the people what they need," she said. She had to give Rhi what she needed too. There would be time for truths later. For now, it was time to listen, and to do her best, and to serve her galaxy and her only remaining family. Epilogue. When he found her, she was standing at the window, overlooking the crowd that had steadily gathered over the last 24 hours to see her coronation, her real coronation, live. Daisies hovered around them like bees around honey. Colorful lanterns hung from every balcony in the city, and fireworks shot into the sky. Allie stood beside her. He didn't know what to call her. Kara? Jocelyn? She was both now.
"Ready for prime time?"
"No." She turned around to face him, biting her lip. "What if this is a terrible idea?"
"You're a hell of a step up from the last guy who was in power." "Way to set the bar," she swatted at him, but Allie caught her wrists and held on to them.
"You're brilliant, and you're fair, and you want to do what's right." He tried to tell her with his eyes how sorry he was. He tried to tell her that he didn't deserve her. "And you're forgiving. That's all I could ever dream of in a ruler."
"So you're saying," Kara moved in closer, "that I'm your dream girl?"
Before he could answer, Kara kissed him, a long, slow kiss that didn't feel as urgent as their last. It was unyielding, the way that ocean waves roll in.
"You're my dream girl," he said with his kiss.
That's what the rhythm of it felt like, the ups and downs, the scary pull of the undertow that could drag you out and leave you adrift. He felt submerged in warm water, his mouth on hers, the silk of her dress as his hands gripped her ribcage and moved up. "I have something to ask you," she said as she pulled away. She fumbled in the folds on her dress and pulled out a small, velvet box. Holding it between them, her smile was shy, her face red.
"Are you going to ask me to marry you?"
"No, you idiot," Kara glared at him. "Don't ruin the moment." She snapped it open. Inside the box was a small silver badge with the flag of Rhaeta on it. "I'm asking you to be my Rhaetan ambassador."
He didn't think he was into jewelry, but he was into this.
It was the slickest pin he'd ever seen, and maybe the most beautiful gift anyone had ever given him.
"There's no Rhaeta, though," Allie said, suddenly feeling the sadness rush into his heart.
"Just because there's no Rhaeta doesn't mean there are no Rhaetans. You'll have to find them, wherever they are."
Allie felt his throat close up.
It's what he'd always wanted, to be with Kara and be with his people.
Her eyes crinkled when she smiled. "Are you crying?" "No way. There's just something in my eye."
She pulled the pin out of its casing and threw the box over her shoulder.
"Sort out your eyes, Ambassador Miraz," she said, as she attached it to the rounded collar of his collusion-style suit. "You're gonna be on TV." I've got plenty of practice.
This time, he was the one to kiss her. It was the soft kind. It stopped and started, cascading into some new emotion so that their mouths, their breaths, their souls found new places to live inside one another. Every part of his body wanted to make contact with hers, and he leaned forward and felt her hands under the hem of his shirt and up his back.
Allie thought his grin might split his mouth when he walked out onto the lower balcony, where Julian, Issa, Lana, and Pavel had assembled to watch Kara's coronation. There was a wind at his back, and he swore he felt the ghosts of Vin, Jeff, and Dallin, pushing him forward to where he belonged.
"Looking sharp," Issa said, nodding to his new pin.
Pavel extended a handkerchief and made a show of shining it. Allie swatted him away.
"You all, too?"
They'd gotten Tossin uniforms tailored, and they looked like the fiercest, and sure, most random, assortment of bodyguards ever assembled. Julian reached out his hand and pressed his thumb into Allie's palm. A Raiden greeting and a sign of respect, passed down from his Raiden dad, probably. And Issa shimmied her shoulders to the beat of the horn blasts down below, confetti catching on the crown of her head.
"Look," Lana said, pointing up to the balcony.
Rhiannon was smiling down at them. She lifted a hand to wave. Then Jocelyn emerged behind her. The wind whipped her hair up around her shoulders. The dress brought out the color of her eyes. She raised her hand to call for silence, and abruptly, the crowd went quiet. She opened her mouth to speak, and Allie thought to power up his cube. Lightning ran through him. It stung in a way that felt good, left him wanting more. He wanted to remember this. From here on out, he wanted to remember everything.
This is Rebecca Solaire. We hope you've enjoyed this unabridged production of Blood of a Thousand Stars by Rhoda Baeza. This program was directed by Robert Kessler. Executive producer, Juliana Wilson. Text copyright 2018 by Paper Lantern Lit LLC and Rhoda Baeza. Production copyright 2018 Penguin Random House LLC. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.